Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 1st of December, recording at 7:47 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, I'm recording before I've completed comment of the day because this is a very important day here, and I want to make sure I get the audio out in time for those who tend to retire a little early in Europe, at any rate. And I don't think I'll be, my comments will be made obsolete by what we see during the rest of today's trading, but if they are, I'll do a second audio. I'm really referring to how Wall Street performs. But the big story, well, there's several big stories here, so let me pick them up in sequence and we'll go right through. The really big story early today was Japan's gain. Now, you know how much I like Japan. You know how informed Japan has been. I've had a Japan chart up in the interesting charts of the day practically every day. That second section was leading on the way up. The other indices had given up nothing, and we had the Nikkei surge 1.74% in here today. That's a nice breakout. And that really calmed the nerves, because you know what had happened on Monday and also yesterday in India. We had a series of these little key day reversals. Now, that's not game, set, and match, but it's certainly a warning, and it's a dynamic that does unsettle people. I think my take on this was that, look, we've got a correction underway. We need countermanding dynamics to negate this. I don't think this is the big one I was saying, but I also, as of last night, saw no evidence that the correction was over, and I outlined in the audio and in comment of the day written what would be required to offset those negative signals. And Japan certainly got the ball rolling. Of course, Japan hadn't seen any negative technical signals, but as I say, it calmed nerves, and we saw a number of countermanding upward dynamics here today, and those include markets such as the UK and also Switzerland. Those had both had downward dynamics previously. I haven't looked at all the charts. I'll review important ones in the comment of the day. But the action's good. The Wall Street action is good right now. The Dow's up 107 right now. It has been a bit higher, but the Nasdaq, which didn't give up much of anything yesterday, is up 1.43%. So the liquidity rules, et cetera, the rally is still very much alive in here today. Now, that's good news here, getting this type of technical action. So what do we make of all those little keys that we saw? And a number of indices, for instance, the Australian index this morning continued weak and actually broke down. It had lost momentum previously, broke down. Well, I think that, excuse me, I would expect it to rebound quite strongly on Friday, but we'll see, of course. But I think that the keys probably represent no more than a warning shot across the bows. Now, that's not that unusual, and I think I use that term as well in yesterday's audio. So it's not unusual that we start to see markets that are in maturing bullish phases start to encounter some short, sharp selling attacks, as some people are obviously getting out and demand is perhaps not quite what it had been earlier on. But that can go on for a number of weeks and perhaps even months. So at this stage, I've got to say, given today's action and that best case scenario that stock markets rally right on through the end of the year still remains very viable, very much on track. It's a probability rather than a possibility. So that's one big point for people. The other big point here is that we'd had some really nervous action in the precious metals market last night. late last night, particularly in the after hours trading. For instance, just to put you in the picture, March silver, I saw that trade down to 829 at one stage. 829, well, it's at 862 right now in after hours trading. Now, I attributed that nervousness and selling pressure to concern over the stock market sell-off because we'd seen precious metals get that shakeout in the first half of October in line with what had taken place in stock markets. The same people have been buying the same markets to a certain extent. So it's logical, and of course the big fear is that if investors really take fright, then you get a sort of cascade effect that brings markets down quite sharply as people stop buying and scramble to raise liquidity. Now, what I did not know until I received an email today that you'll see when I finally get comment of the day up that the U.S. exchange, I think it's the NYMEX exchange, had whatever it is that governs the gold trading, had raised the margin requirement by 50%, and that was an interesting email. And I've written quite a bit on it. Most of it's in the subscribers area, and there was a connection made with previous margin hikes, which have tended to cause some sharp reactions in markets, and the example cited in the email was February 03. Well, not to repeat it all, but the point I made very briefly was that, as I started on this, and it is an important point, was that in February 03, the people who were playing the precious metals markets were a very small minority of basically futures traders who, most of whom had seen the last great cycle for gold and silver back in the 1970s and 1980. And that was a small group. And it was also a jumpy group overall. And I include myself in that. And that's as I remember being feeling the markets were full of promise, but being twitchy because we'd been disappointed or they hadn't rallied for such a long time. Disappointed would be the wrong way to describe it because I really hadn't been in those markets. I didn't get back in until I'd been out for years. I didn't get back in until 2003. But I knew what the chart had done and I knew what the price action had done. And sure, they were cheap and that made them very, very interesting. But again, it's kind of a lonely game at the beginning of a bull cycle. And if that doesn't get people alert or feeling a little bit anxious, then they're probably complacent. And none of us, of course, will ever want to be complacent about markets. Okay, let's fast forward here to today's action. So we get a 50% increase in the margin requirement, and my guess is that judging from the technical action and judging from the email that I got and the kind of reaction to this that occurred in the United States is that some people sold short on that basis. Now, first, one little rule of mine is I really don't like to short for counter trend moves. It's really on the wrong side. It's on the wrong side of the big trend. I only want to trade within the big trend. I mean, that can be difficult enough from time to time if the trend is choppy, but I don't want to try to do little clever things like saying, okay, it's overextended now, so let's go short and hopefully pull it out again quickly. If I'm going to short something, and I do, as you know, I frequently short things, and I want to really short something that's in a secular downtrend. So I can hear some of you thinking, or in my imagination, I can say, well, why did you have some shorts in stock market indices? Well, those are hedges against my long positions previously, and they didn't work out. So I shouldn't have done that, and shouldn't have done that as well. But as a general rule of thumb, If it's a downtrend, you want to be selling the rallies, and if it's an uptrend, you want to be buying the dips. That's very profound, but hardly original, but very profound. So I think that judging from today's action in the precious metals markets, where we have really seen some frenzied buying, that some people had sold short. And the point I made in my piece on this and comment was that the difference this time, and compared with 2003, is that the people who are in the precious metals market today, the people who are becoming interested today, and I think the penny really dropped, to coin a phrase, in September, as I've said on a number of occasions. In terms of perceptions, that's when the myth that gold was just a dollar story, well, in fairness to those people, it had been pretty much just a dollar story up until September. But in September, as you know, we had gold breaking out against all the different currencies. And I posted those charts several times, and you can see them any day in the subscribers library. So from that day onwards, the argument that gold is just rallying in response to earlier dollar weakness, that had already become suspect because the dollar had been moving upwards all year, and gold was still firm, but it exploded upwards against all currencies back in September. So that was the psychological Rubicon, and that's what's caused a lot of people to become very, very interested. Well, who are these people? And you think immediately, I could see people thinking, well, what about the hedge funds, which are seem to get the first credit for just about everything that goes on, good or bad. And well, no doubt a number of them are in there, but I think there are some very big long-term investors as well, and then there's a lot of petrodollar money. There may even be some government money in terms of foreign central banks, but there's plenty enough of the petrodollar activity around. But take any of those sources of capital, they alone in these thin markets, supply and elasticity, can drive prices substantially higher. And the other point to make is that these boys are not trading on margin in futures contracts, so they may do some of that, but there are probably a lot of cash buyers around out there, and the cash buyers for precious metals today have one heck of a lot more cash than the cash buyers for precious metals back in 1979 and 1980 when they soared so high. So really, this is a major bull market, as I've been saying for the last 3 years, in here, and it just keeps reconfirming and reconfirming and reconfirming, and we're also in that second psychological perception stage. I have put in the money stops on all my metal positions, and I can see actually I did one baby steps lighten. Actually, it was a double baby steps lighten in my dollar account, taking me out at 860, but I've got lots of silver. That's gold. That's silver, of course, that I'm talking about, taking me out at 860 for a double baby steps position. Remember, I had increased my positions a week or two ago, but I've still got lots of silver and a fair chunk of gold as well, and I've got some leveraged mining share plays in here as well. I do think this is an awfully good story, and I'll be buying that silver back tomorrow, if that dips back, well, hopefully it dips back 10 cents or so, but it may not. It may not, so I won't be doing much selling, but I may well raise my stops overall. So that's the other big story. Now, that's the really big story. And gold, spot gold, as I speak here, is at 504 right now. And elsewhere, interesting things going on. I've been saying that oil was probably down in a bottoming area, although we hadn't seen technical evidence. We still haven't, but we've had some pretty good action today. 58.47, that's up 115. And natural gas, very strong, back above 13. I'm looking at the January contract right now. And I remember I got burned having bought, as I described as going back to the well one too many times. Natural gas had been such a profitable trade, even more profitable than silver, possibly for me this year, although not right now. But I wrote it out on the basis, again, this is a secular bull market in natural gas, and it has been coming back quite strong. I haven't gotten down to nearly 11. To be up over 13 on the January contract is some action. I'll look to lighten if we see further strength tomorrow, just to do so prudently. But having been too bullish last time around, I'm of course just if I have that opportunity and start to lighten tomorrow, I'll just be winning back some of that natural gas money, some of that profit erosion loss that I took on that last rollover. All the precious metals were strong, just returning to that theme for a moment. It's a red hot sector. The mining shares look strong, but probably the most important thing for all of you who are listening is that in terms of stock markets, we got overextended. You could say we still are, but we started to consolidate and we had some short-term bearish signals, and those have pretty much been countermanded in here today. So exciting action still. Maybe some of you feel too exciting, but this has been a big day for the bulls in here. And now we don't want to be getting more bullish as markets go higher. I'm talking about stock markets now here, because I do maintain that this technical bull is a bit long in the tooth here, and that it'll certainly be in well, the bull will be on a more treacherous footing come next year in all probability. Nothing's guaranteed, and I'm only guessing in the sense that this is the educated guess business. Nobody knows the future, but the point is, we want to keep level-headed in here and not get too carried away with anything. Well, that's it. I don't want to waffle. All the best to all of you.